CEOs, civic leaders, entertainers, and entrepreneurs. They all have something in common: the drive, vision, and heart to achieve success. Steve Klein is a renowned business consultant, author, and host of Playmakers Talk Show. Each week, he introduces you to another fascinating personality who will inspire, educate, and motivate you to persevere and find your own success. And now, here is Steve Klein.
Michelangelo said, "The greater danger for most of us is not that our aim is too high and we miss, but that it is too low and we reach it." Welcome to Playmakers Talk Show. I'm Steve Klein. In the studio today are two playmakers who aim high. Our first playmaker is a professionally trained opera singer, while our next playmaker gets people the food they want, when they want it, wherever they are. With us today is the CEO of a company that has taken a 36-year-old business from two dump trucks to a regional trucking powerhouse. Well, our next guest is the general manager of a company that allows diners to order from 35,000 restaurants in more than 900 U.S. cities. These great playmakers are Quincy Roberts. Quincy is CEO of Roberts Trucking. And Nick Warswick. Nick is general manager of Seamless Corporate Accounts. And we're going to begin today's show with Nick. General manager Nick Warswick is responsible for all sales, marketing, client management, and product strategy for Grubhub's corporate division, that's Seamless Corporate Accounts. Grubhub is the nation's leading online and mobile food ordering company dedicated to connecting hungry diners with local takeout restaurants. The company's online and mobile ordering platforms allow diners to order directly from approximately 35,000 takeout restaurants in more than 900 U.S. cities and London. Now, Nick brings to Seamless more than 15 years of experience driving revenue growth, scaling business processes, strengthening client relationships, and improving service delivery for technology businesses. Well, Nick, welcome to Playmakers Talk Show.
Steve, thanks so much for having me.
I mentioned the name Seamless. I mentioned Grubhub. We were talking before. Grubhub seems to have a little bit more of a recognition than Seamless, but tell us how Seamless and Grubhub started and then came together, because they were separate.
Yeah, that's right. So Seamless was actually founded in the late 90s, 1999 to be exact, in Manhattan by a couple of attorneys who were working late and wanted to figure out a better way of getting food into their office. Prior to Seamless, most junior attorneys would have a dusty drawer full of menus that they'd pull open. They'd flip through those menus, and late at night, they'd call a restaurant.
There's still a lot of people that do that.
There are still a lot of people that do that. That's right. That's why the market that we're going after is so large. But they figured out that they could put a marketplace online, so a two-sided marketplace. On one side of the marketplace, have restaurants, and the other side of the marketplace allow diners to come and discover those restaurants through our online platform and get food delivered no matter what time of day or night to their office or to their home. Grubhub, similar story, 2004, Matt Maloney and Mike Evans were sitting on a couch and wanted to have a better way of getting food delivered. They went out and effectively did the exact same thing that Seamless did. Whereas Seamless got started in a corporate environment, Matt and Mike started the business focused on consumer diners. The businesses came together a couple of years ago, and there were real synergies. Again, Seamless traditionally had been focused on the corporate marketplace. Grubhub had traditionally been focused more on consumer diners, so putting the two companies together made a ton of sense.
Well, with the information I was sent, you've written a number of articles, and a survey was also done for full-time professionals, because your focus is corporate. And it was interesting that in that survey, and I'd like you to talk about that a little bit, 60% reported that having more food at the office would make them feel more valued and appreciated by their employer. So this is your bailiwick. Talk a little bit about that and how you promote that to businesses.
Sure. Well, we work with thousands of corporations around the country. And what we constantly find is that companies are really interested in providing, in this competitive labor market that we're in, companies are very interested in providing a way for their employees to get excited about the company, one. Two, companies are excited about figuring out ways to save money, and we help them do that in a couple of different ways, which we can get into. And then lastly, what we find is that we save companies a ton of time. So traditionally, if someone's taking a one-hour lunch break with our platform, in a matter of minutes, they can discover a new restaurant, order that food, and then bring that food into the office and either share it with colleagues or sit at their desk and work, which creates what we think is about 40 additional hours of productivity per employee per year. And if you look at a big company, for example, that can literally equal tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars of additional productivity for those companies.
I mean, sitting here with this radio station, KAAM, where we're located in Irving, there are no restaurants. Well, there's one restaurant close by, but for all intents and purposes, you have to drive to get there. But now, using Seamless corporately, you can have that delivered right to the office.
Yeah, that's right. I think locally here we have on the Grubhub, the variety of different Grubhub platforms, we have hundreds of restaurants that deliver to the area. And like I said before, it's a great way for people to discover new places to eat, new places to share food with their colleagues without having to leave the office.
And that's something else, too. We tend to go to the same restaurant because we're used to that a lot, but now you can have it delivered to you and have a chance to see what it's like.
That's right.
Which is a little bit different. How about caterers? You just work with restaurants, or you'd add caterers in there, too?
No, we have lots and lots of caterers. Actually, corporately, close to 30% of our business is catering, whether that's catering for a board meeting, catering for large groups of people, or fun company events. We do a lot of business with local caterers. Again, the premise of the platform has been to connect local diners and local restaurants. So we work with, we're driving tons and tons of new incremental business to those local restaurants. So on that side of our marketplace, on the supply side of our marketplace, those restaurants are big fans of ours.
Well, you are relatively new to Dallas in terms of Seamless. Why launch in Dallas?
A couple of different reasons. We actually acquired a business called Dining In. Recently, Dining In was a business that delivered. They're called what is called a restaurant delivery service. So they were a local business that delivered food on behalf of restaurants. That is a business that Grubhub is now actively getting involved in. So again, classic decision that a company like ours makes as we're growing is build versus buy. We decided to acquire Dining In. Dining In had a very substantial footprint here in the Dallas area. As we started looking at that footprint post-acquisition, we realized that there was, again, on the supply side of our marketplace, a lot of restaurants that Dining In worked with that we could then transition to the Seamless platform, and we could go talk to local companies about that great offering that we had on the supply side of our marketplace. So that was really the genesis of moving into this market at this particular moment in time.
We're speaking with Nick Warswick. Nick is general manager of Seamless Corporate Accounts. The website, if you'd like to check that out, is seamless.com/business. You'll find out more about what Nick and Seamless do. Your background is interesting, too, because you get involved in startups, and apparently you enjoy building a business. Talk a little bit about how you did that or where you went. You went to school at Cornell. What happened to get involved in that and how you became involved with Seamless?
Sure. So the Cliff Notes version of the story is that I started my career in finance, and I quickly realized that I was a little bit more entrepreneurial, and I was very interested in sales and the apparatus of sales, particularly as it relates to how to bring revenue into companies. So for the last 15 years or so, I've helped companies build high-performing sales teams. And to directly answer your question, candidly, I've made every mistake in the book relative to hiring, training, and then managing salespeople. And over time, I just got, I got very good at, one, identifying talent through a pretty scientific interview process. Two, once we identify that talent and bring them on board, putting them through a pretty rigorous process to train them on the products and services that we sell. And then lastly, your job is not done. Once you train people, you really have to have an effective management team, an effective metrics that you're looking at to ensure that those individuals that you hired are productive in the field. And there's some art to it, but it's mostly science. And the more that you look at it over the years, the better you get at, one, predicting the right type of candidate, two, very clearly defining that training program for those salespeople, and then lastly, managing to metrics, because at the end of the day, sales is a numbers game, and managing to those metrics is the only way to ensure success, particularly when you have a distributed sales team.
Oh, you're absolutely correct. I think the art and the science have to go together. You have a number of articles you've written. The one that fascinated me the most was an article on sales recruiting, and step two is get ready to sell the salesman, and there's five steps in there into doing that. Mm-hmm. But what would you say is the most important question to ask a candidate on an interview?
I mean, there's so many questions that we ask our candidates. I think
Is there any one specific one you like asking that kind of
I like asking people what they're passionate about. And that can be you typically get answers ranging from the stock answer, which is I love to work and I love to sell, right? And I'm actually more interested in what lights people up sometimes outside of the office, because that helps you engage them in a dialogue about what might make them an effective salesperson for you. So people that are really good at their jobs, are passionate about what they do. So determining what that person's passion is and what they're really excited about helps you figure out whether or not they're going to be a good cultural fit for your team.
Well, I mentioned an article that you wrote, and I'm referring to, I'm looking at it right now, Step 2, Get Ready to Sell the Salesman. We have a number of entrepreneurs, CEOs, business owners that have salespeople listening to us. What advice would you give them as you're helping them develop those metrics or helping them develop the science of finding the right salespeople?
Yeah, so firstly, I think my experience would tell you that you have to meet 10 people to find one that might even be a candidate, and then that I would say 50% of the time that one person ends up making it through the hiring process. So I often tell my sales managers the most important thing that you can do is always be recruiting. It doesn't matter if you have an open job at that particular moment in time. As you're out in the field with your salespeople, networking with customers, meeting people as you're going about your daily lives, you should always be recruiting. And I spend probably 30% of my time every year recruiting, talking to recruiters, whether they be internal recruiters or external third-party recruiters, networking with people inside my network, 2 degrees separated from my network and beyond. Always be recruiting, because ultimately, a lot of times what you'll find is that that candidate that you meet, you may not even hire that person for a year or a year and a half. But if you have a connection with that individual, when a spot does open up, networking helps you get those passive candidates, helps you keep those passive candidates warm, and hopefully ultimately you get to bring them onto your team when the time is right.
And if you don't have those people, you're recruiting from a position of weakness.
That's right.
By not knowing who you can have. Well, we've been talking about what your philosophy toward hiring people. Let's go back to your business, Seamless Corporate Accounts. How can people find out more about what you do, possibly find out if they're a business, how to find out where they can get involved with Seamless? If they're a restaurant, how can they get involved?
Sure. So, we have a variety of different brands in the portfolio. The quickest way to reach us is either go to grubhub.com or seamless.com. At the bottom of the page, you'll find out how to reach us. We come here to Dallas frequently. I have a team of people that come here and talk to local corporations. If you're interested in speaking with us, go to your site, Steve, and you can find me at the bottom of the page, or go to either seamless.com or grubhub.com.
Well, Nick, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
I really appreciate it. Thanks, Steve.
Well, thanks very much for being on the show. Again, Nick Warswick is General Manager of Seamless Corporate Accounts, and he mentioned a couple of those websites. That's grubhub.com or seamless.com /business, and you'll find out more about it. Don't go away. We're going to find out more about the trucking business, specifically in its construction, and the same person has a tremendous passion for singing, specifically opera singing. His name is Quincy Roberts, the CEO of Roberts Trucking. We'll talk to Quincy right after this.
Operation Kindness is the oldest and largest no-kill animal shelter here in North Texas. Each day, its staff and volunteers care for an average of 300 homeless dogs and cats in its shelter in Carrollton, plus 100 more animals living in foster homes throughout the Metroplex. Learn how you can adopt, donate, or volunteer with this nonprofit group by visiting their website at operationkindness.org or by calling 972-418-7297. operationkindness.org.
Their names are Vivian, Bryce, Zoe, and Joshua, ages 5 to 12. They are part of a very exclusive club that neither they nor their families want to belong. They've all been diagnosed with some form of pediatric cancer. Each year in DFW, hundreds of families hear the dreaded words, "Your child has cancer." Wipe Out Kids Cancer helps families cope and support researchers looking for a cure. Our mission is simple: to work relentlessly for the day when all children are living cancer-free. Learn more at wokc.org.
And welcome back to Playmakers Talk Show. We're going to speak with a CEO now who has an additional passion besides just the trucking business. His name is Quincy Roberts. He's a Dallas native. He's also the CEO of Roberts Trucking, a construction trucking company headquartered here in Dallas. Founded in 1979 by Quincy's grandparents, Roberts Trucking is owned and operated by the Roberts family and specializes in the hauling of construction aggregates. Over the last 9 years, Quincy has led the company to be one of the largest minority-owned construction materials hauling firms in north-central Texas. He has grown the company from a small operation consisting of two dump trucks to a regional trucking powerhouse with a capacity of over 150 trucking units. As a result, the Dallas Business Journal has named Quincy to their 2015 40 Under 40 list. Well, congratulations and welcome to Playmakers Talk Show, Quincy.
Thank you very much. It's an honor to be here today, Steve.
Well, thank you. I mentioned at the very beginning of the show, but I'll mention it now, that not only are you CEO of a company, but you're also an opera singer. So why does an opera singer return to Dallas to take over the family business?
Well, I'll tell you why, Steve. You know, opera is a fun thing. There's ups to it. There's advantages and disadvantages. The advantage is you get to live a life that most people don't get to live. You get to travel, you lots of places, meet very interesting people. But the disadvantage is you're traveling so much, you get disconnected from your family. You know, like you said, I'm born and raised in Dallas, Texas. Grandparents started a company that was, at the time that I decided to come back, the company was actually headed out. Grandparents were getting to an age where, you know, they were ready to retire. I didn't really want to see the family business just dissipate. So I came back to start working in the company to see what I can do to keep the company going and growing.
So you took it over?
Yeah, I basically took it over. I started off as a driver for couple years. I drove a truck around Dallas, Texas, working different construction sites.
Was it an OTR, over-the-road license you have to get, or is that different for...
Well, the licensing is the same, whether you're doing over-the-road or local. The licensing is the same. It's Class A license. So I was driving an 18-wheeler tractor-trailer.
So at least that's always one profession you can always go back to, by driving an 18-wheeler.
Yeah. I can always fall back on that, which is actually a fun and relaxing thing. You know, you don't have to worry about dealing with a bunch of people because there's only one person in a truck.
So you in the road.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you have you do a lot involved with your company. I want to talk to you more about that. But let's talk a little bit about the company history. You mentioned your grandparents started it back in 1979.
That's right.
They've wanted to... get out of the business. You came in and turned it over, but give a little background about the history of the company and how and why it started.
Okay, yeah. So it started in 1979, which was also the year that I was born. So I guess I was born to do what I'm doing.
There you go.
So the company started with Grandpa, Grandma, and they had a son, Arthur Roberts Jr. and Sr. They were the two truck drivers of the company, Grandpa and son. And so they worked together, different construction sites, for over 20 years. And I think it was in 2002, Arthur Roberts Jr. was unfortunately diagnosed with cancer. At that time, I so happened to be a senior in college. And so I came back to be with my uncle, you know, while he was dealing with the cancer. And at that time, I decided, hey, it's summer. I'm going to, you know, try to learn how to drive a truck. Uncle showed me how to drive a truck. And it was an exciting summer, and it just showed me that, hey, there is opportunity there if I want to explore this later on in life. So unfortunately, a year later, Arthur Roberts Jr., my uncle, he passed away from cancer, which was a sad thing. I mean, he was the youngest person in the company, you know, getting new contracts and such. And so when he passed away, he left my grandparents there to try to figure out, hey, how are we going to keep it going? And they were just... You know, they were at the end of it, and they're just like, hey, this is it. You know, Quincy, if you want to come and work with us, you can. So I left singing. I had been traveling for a while. This is 2005, actually. I came to started working with them. Left singing from traveling, started working with them. Like I said, driving a truck. And took off from there. I got them to purchase more trucks. I had another family member, my cousin Arthur Roberts III. He was also a truck driver, and we worked together. And before I knew it, I started buying trucks, and the company started growing. And then all of a sudden, the recession hit. And the company went from booming to we were looking for work. Luckily, my grandparents had put us in a situation where we were working for truck brokers, and they were, you know, they would find the work for us all the time. And it got to a point where the truck brokers weren't able to find us any work. So I took it on my initiative to the only way that we're going to keep it going is we're going to have to get out here and find our own work.
So you became the salesman, too.
I became the salesman. I became the mechanic. I was the driver. I was doing everything. And so luckily, I was able to receive a little business training. There was a couple programs that I've taken, one with the SBA. They have a program called the Emerging Leaders Program. And so in that program, I learned a little bit on how to run a business from marketing, finance, banking, and so forth. And I used these skills that I picked up from this program and used them in the business and, you know, just able to grow it from our little small two-truck operation. Now we're up to, we have 12 trucks, 13 trailers. The beautiful thing about our company is we have an alliance of other trucking companies, whether it be individuals or companies that, because of our reputation, they are honored to assist us in helping us execute the projects that we have been.
So if the work gets too large, you have someone else to call on to be of some help.
Exactly.
Well, yes. I would think that being in North Central Texas is probably one of the best places in the United States to be right now. Yes. With all the additional construction, Toyota coming into Dallas and all the companies coming behind them. Right. You really have your choice. So what differentiates Roberts Trucking from the competitors?
What differentiates us from our competitors, like I said, our alliance of owner operators and lease trucks is we have our most companies here in Dallas, either, you know, they're truck brokers or they have their own trucks and they just run their own. We have both. We have a truck brokerage. We have our own trucks. And so that enables us to have a huge force to be able to take on any project.
So you, you have that ability to do that. What are some of the projects you're currently working on?
We're working on quite a few of large projects, such as we're working at Lovefield Airport, assisting in the modernization of that airport, as you know. We're also working on the U.S. 635 Managed Lanes project. I'm sure, you know, if you're from Dallas, you've
everybody
been
knows that with the slowdown in traffic sometimes on 635.
Yes. So that would be us out there slowing down the traffic.
Well, you're involved in a lot. Demolition, mass earth moving, contaminated soil dispersal. You will do almost anything when it involves moving dirt, helping construction companies.
Exactly. Excavation is a thing that a department in our company that we're growing. We've been offered a number of contracts with different municipalities to fulfill their excavating needs and so forth. So that's the beautiful thing about doing dirt trucking. There's so much to it. I mean, not just trucking. I mean,
and someone has to haul it all off.
Exactly.
So might as well be you. Yeah. We're speaking with Quincy Roberts. Quincy is CEO of Roberts Trucking. The website is RobertsTruckingInc.com. You can check the different things they do. Let's go back one more time to one of your passions, which is singing, opera.
Yes,
singing.
Right.
And tell us how Porgy and Bess was kind of your intro into that.
Yeah, so I was privileged enough. I was in the fifth grade, and my grandparents took me to the opera, Porgy and Bess. And so I was there. It was the Dallas Opera's production, so I was sitting in the audience.
Fair Park, correct?
Yeah, Fair Park. Yeah, this is before they moved into the big Winspear Opera House. So we're at Fair Park enjoying Porgy and Bess, my first opera. And I fell in love with it. I mean, just to see the cast on the stage singing and dancing. At that moment, I said, hey, this is what I want to do with my life. I want to be on stage. I want to sing and dance. And at that time, I couldn't even sing nor dance. So, you know, after that, I started going home and pretending to, you know, sing excerpts from Porgy and Bess. And I think Mom caught on. She enrolled me in voice lessons and such. So, yeah, I decided at the age of 10 that opera singing is something that I wanted to do.
Here's what I want to ask you about that in terms of your voice, because you now have a professionally trained,
yes,
singing voice.
Right.
Can anybody be a singer with the proper kind of training, or did you have that voice, that potential to be a singer from the beginning?
Well, I'm a firm believer that you have to have a little bit of natural talent. And that talent needs to be refined in order to be an opera singer. There's so much that goes into opera. As you know, the main languages that operas are performed in is French, German, and Italian. So, I mean,
do you understand what you're singing when you're singing it?
I do. Am I fluent in either one of those languages? No, but I have taken classes and such. And any time that I'm preparing a new role or learning music, I have to go in and research, you know, all the words and
so forth. I would think you
would
have to, because you have to put a certain amount of passion into your voice. And if you don't know what words you're singing.
Yeah, you better know what you're singing about if you want to convey that to the audience.
So how much time do you put into right now? And tell us how you're involved with the city of Dallas and opera singing.
Yes. So I'm entering in my seventh season with the Dallas Opera. And the Dallas Opera, they usually do five or six productions per year. I'm generally in three to four of the productions. I mean, it's hard to run the company and participate with the opera at the same time, but, you know, I have a passion for it, and I find time to do it.
So you are going to be appearing in an upcoming opera?
Yes, I'll be a part of three operas in the upcoming season, and looking forward to another year for working with the Dallas Opera.
So you have a chance of getting to know Quincy by watching him perform on stage as an opera singer, but also in his business. And tell everybody one more time how they can get a hold of you if they'd like to talk to you about trucking or the construction business.
The best way to get a hold of us is to go to our website. It's www.robertstruckinginc.com, or you can go on the radio station's website, playmakers.com, and get our contact information on there.
Well, Quincy, thank you very much for being a part of Playmakers Talk Show.
It's been a pleasure.
Quincy Roberts, who is CEO of Roberts Trucking and also an opera singer, and you can check him out at Dallas Opera. I want to thank my guests for being here. This was a wonderful show. Thank you very much for being here. We will have more guests next week on Playmakers Talk Show. Make sure you tune in then. You can get all of our replays and past episodes at PlaymakersTalkShow.com. That's PlaymakersTalkShow.com, and we'll be back again next week with more of those Playmakers. See you then.
You've been listening to Playmakers Talk Show with Steve Klein. Join him again next Friday at 3 p.m. for another sit-down with DFW's most interesting Playmakers.